be seated. In the narrow, cobbled alleys of Trastevere, Rome, under the shadow of Roman rule, a man named Marcus met with fellow believers in a dimly lit room above a bakery. Marcus bore the scars of beatings, not for theft and not for rebellion, but for faith. The empire saw them as threats. These men and women who claimed loyalty to a crucified carpenter. Marcus looked around at his brothers and his sisters. Some had lost jobs, others families. Still others had lost everything. One night, word spread fast. One of their own had been dragged out into the street. Another beating, another warning. Marcus clenched his fists, not in anger, but in fear. What if I'm next? What if I break? And that night, someone read Paul's letter aloud. If God is for us, who can be against us? The words cut through the silence like a sword through mist. Something changed in Marcus. Not because the danger disappeared, but because finally Marcus understood the love of Christ does not buckle under pressure. It holds fast, and it holds you. This letter, this section that we have heard read today, was sent to the first church. Those that were gathered in house churches, it's believed most likely in the section of Rome called Trastevere. This is Rome across the river. Walls surround the city. 90% is on one side of the river. 10% is on the other. Now, I shared this last year that when I think of the letter to the Romans, because it is very deep theologically, pastors can spend a year preaching through the book. I'm not, but at least not now. But anyway, I think of highly educated, elegant, and erudite, that's fancy for smart talkers, erudite folks in togas and beautiful villas discussing these great ideas. But that's not Trastevere. Not elegant, not educated in a formal sense, and probably not too erudite. This is the blue collar, rough around the edges, and probably not the right side of the tracks neighborhood. And it's here that Paul brings good news with this letter. This is a letter of introduction. He has actually not met them yet. And I'm going to guess everybody here remembers the days you were traveling and a friend knew somebody in the community. A letter might be written. Oh, my friend is coming. I can remember starting seminary, and an older pastor said, I know the mother-in-law, father-in-law of one of your professors. I'm going to write a letter. But you're coming, and so during Greek school, got a note, love to have a meeting with you. Another fellow I knew said, oh gosh, Dr. Johnson, Ben Johnson, he was my favorite. I'm going to let him know you're coming, and either by note or phone call, this is pre-email, said, this fine young man is coming. And he also dropped me a note through my mailbox, I'd like to get together with you. And so this is a letter of introduction that he is writing on his own behalf. And he's setting the stage for them. And we've been going through, bit by bit, in this great chapter, We're coming into the final section of this chapter. That's why your cover picture shows kind of a cruise. We're kind of cruising in to the end of it. With our first point, if God is for us, who can be against us? God did not spare his own son. This gives us assurance, courage, confidence, a sense of provision, trust, and worthiness assigned. Imagine a young person is hard at work at the first job, and it's not slacking. I mean, this kid really wants to do it well, but still uncertain. How will it be received? And then a parent arrives, say hello, and the boss realizes, oh, I know your parent. That's the connection. A sense of confidence. They know who I am. Some of you may remember Tim Russert, the late Tim Russert, the press guy from Washington, rigorous work ethic, would do his research. Even though he's a pleasant fellow, he was considered the most feared man in town because he did his homework. You better do yours if you're going to be interviewed by him. And he often spoke of his father, Big Russ. And one summer, during the college years, young Tim worked for the sanitation department. His father at that point was like a foreman in sanitation. And Tim worked very hard. And he said you had to learn. You picked up, when you took that top off the trash can, opened it a certain way. So if there's a rat that's angry, you got a shield and you got a weapon. You always open it a certain way. And he worked hard. And later, one of the people that worked with his father said, you know, hey, Russ, you got a good kid. Thanks. Means a lot, responded his father. And yes, young Tim worked very hard, but he had the confidence of knowing, I'm Big Russ's son. They know where I fit here. We can stand firm not because the battle is easy, but because our God cannot lose. We can trust God's hand. God has already provided divine love for us at the highest cost. So we have that. We also have Christ's intercession. Who can accuse? Only Christ. And as the old song goes, Jesus paid it all. A few weeks ago, I got a chuckle as I shared the real story of an individual's speeding ticket. Out driving with a friend, went over that hill. And you know that. We go over the hill, and sometimes we come down at the moment a little faster than we meant, and boom, bang, got caught. And now eventually, the story's more involved for today, but her friend lived in Northern Virginia. Nay, actually lived in California. But a friend was able to write a check to someone, actually the arresting officer. This was once they were in front of in the courtroom. $50, he gave her $50, she gave it to Nay. Nay paid her fine. Mark paid in full. The fine, the penalty, was covered. And Jesus has covered that for us. A former high school troublemaker has turned his life around and some years later seeks to join the fire department. People who do not know the whole story review all of the records and they see some bad marks from his younger days. They're not sure he belongs. But the fire chief, who does know the whole story, vouches for him. And his endorsement, the endorsement of the chief, silences all accusations. We can walk like a free person. The only courtroom that matters has already been ruled in our favor. And finally, we have victory in love. What shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? I think of what can separate us in that care, that compassion. I think of the mother who would dive into the water to rescue a child. Being at the beach reflected on my childhood, and or my sister and I, our childhood at the beach. And Daddy would be there some to play with us, but he would have come down later. And so thinking of those days and Mother being on the beach watching us in her bathing suit. Now, my mother likes to get her hair done. Now that she's retired and a widow and I can do what I please, it's my money, she goes twice a week. And my sister and I said, you know, we have no memory of our mother ever being in the water other than maybe just up to the ankles. But still that assurance that if something we were to be in trouble, forget the hair, I'm going to save my children. Jacqueline Kennedy, as a young mother and first lady, told the Secret Service, as the story goes, they were at the beach, probably Hyannis Port, and she basically said, drowning children are my department. You guys watch the perimeter. I'm watching my children. I want them to know their mother is keeping an eye on them. You watch the bad guys. I'm watching the kids. You don't need to babysit them. We can endure storms with our heads held high. No force in the world can tear us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. If God is for us, who can be against us? Christ intercedes for us, and there is victory in love. Jesus has paid that price for us. Open with a story set in ancient Rome in Trastevere. It is still there as a neighborhood. It's some of the oldest churches in Rome, or the site of the oldest churches in Rome, and what currently stands is newer, exist there. So let us visit that community today. There is a man in modern day Rome, and let's call him Luca. He walks home from his shift, the heavy burdens on his shoulder. He's carrying the weight of the world. He is not hunted for his faith, but Luca battles something just as real: doubt, fear, failure. Luca questions his worth, his strength, his purpose. Luca wonders if God's still with him or if God ever was. And then by chance, or maybe not, Luca passes an old church in Trastevere. He steps inside. It's quiet, stone, ancient. And from his backpack, he pulls out an old battered Bible, maybe about the size of this, and he hasn't looked at it in a while. He comes to Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? He reads it again, slower, letting it sink in. The same words that steadied Marcus oh so many years ago. The same truth that outlived empires. Luca walks out that church, not with all the answers, but with a fire in his chest. If Christ is for him, nothing can stand against him. Not now, not ever. Let me conclude with this prayer. Almighty God, when the weight of the world presses in, remind us that you stand with us. Make us bold, steady, and unshaken, because we belong to you. Lord, you have already given the highest gift to us. Teach us to trust you with every lesser need. Help us to trust you with our families, and our futures. When our pasts accuse us, remind us that you have spoken a stronger word. Help us to walk as a people forgiven, clean, courageous, and free. When the storm comes, anchor us in your love. Strengthen us to hold fast, not because we are strong, but because your love never lets go. Amen.